with, I was asked by Sister Charlene Earle this morning to pray for a situation they have there. Her and my brother Delmer moved back down to their house, and of course they're hooked up to the what they call water system there. Mini Wichoni. And they're having problems with the water pressure because there's so many people on that system there where they are. So she said, we've been trying to get a hold of the people that are in charge there and try to get them to get this resolved. She said, so pray that God would send them out soon. They said they would come, she said, but we've been patiently waiting. So let's pray for them besides all our needs that we have. And whatever needs you may have right now, whatever your circumstances are, whatever you're facing, whatever you need God to do for you, now is your time. For yourself, for your families. Amen. For your relatives. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And God, we thank you for that promise that you have spoken to us, that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst of them. We thank you, Father, that you are looking down upon us, O God, and Lord, that you do care for us. And we're here, Father, to lay upon you our burdens, our needs, O God, and you, Father, know right well what they are. And we pray that you administer, Lord, as you see every person in this congregation, Lord, you know their hearts. Amen. I pray that you administer, Father. Abba Yasa Mahaya, Jesus. Have your way, Lord. God, I pray that you would meet every need that is represented, Lord, whatever it may be. God, a physical need, healing, O Lord. Salvation, God. Amen, Lord. Even a financial need, Lord. Even a miracle. Father, we believe you, God. We know that you're able to save to the uttermost. So we ask that you, O God, would minister unto us, Lord. That you would lift the burdens that we bring right now, God. Take them from us, O Lord, and do a mighty work in us, O God. Lord, we pray for Sister Charlene and Brother Dalmer. You know their need there. We pray for a miracle, Father, that you would help them, Lord, to get this, amen, issue resolved, Lord. We pray for my brother David, Lord. We pray for Brother Chuck and Sister Linda. We pray for Brother Craig and Sister Taryn. God, you know their needs, Lord. You know, Lord, their desire. And I pray that you administer, that you would open up the door for them, God, as they seek to do your will. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Let it be done, Father. Lord, and I pray for the congregation in Lufkin, Texas. I pray for Brother Ty and Sister Hannah. Lord, Sister Hancock, I pray for all those, Lord. I pray for that work, Lord, that you would continue to move. God, that you would continue to minister. Do a work, O Lord. Do a mighty work, O Father, in that place. Amen, Lord. Brother Wethy, Lord, in Shatopa, O God. That church there, Lord. Their people, Father, continue to move mightily, Father. And Lord, we pray for, amen, Lord. We pray, God, for Brother Javier, Lord. Minister unto him, God. You know his heart. You know his ministry. Continue to use him, Lord. Brother Stricker, Lord. Sister Stricker. God, you know her need, Lord. I pray that you would touch her. God, give her strength in her body, Lord. Amayasa Mahaya, Lord. Do a work, O God. This we thank you for, Lord. Bind us together, Lord, and open our ears that we may hear. Our eyes that we may see. Our hearts, Lord, that we can be converted unto you. Bless us in your word today, God, and give us understanding. We pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let it be done, Lord. We thank you. Amen, Father, in Jesus' name. May be seated. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. It's good to be back here. Thank you, everybody, for for contributing to the taco sale Friday, and all of you that contributed whatever we needed, and as far as the ingredients, and then all those that came and labored. Thank you very much. 765. Okay, 7. Praise God. So that was a blessing. That's a blessing. Thank you for all of you. Everything that you do for the Lord. Amen. And I've been trying to follow my notes and trying to stay, I guess, in the same thought that I have been teaching on. And like I said, I do have a great burden. And as you know, the scripture teaches, of course, we all are well aware of that, and we know the word. And when it comes to ministry and it comes to our responsibility and obligation to fulfill our calling, and of course, everything that we do here, we do it in sincerity. Amen. And we do it in truth. But I always remember my responsibility, my obligation as a minister. And this year, January 5th, I celebrated how many years now in the ministry? 1985 was when I was ordained, January 5th, 1985. And I'm thankful.
Thank you,
I'm thankful for the opportunity to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I want to fulfill my calling.
Amen.
I want to fulfill my calling.
Amen.
I want to make my calling and my election sure. That's how I feel.
Amen.
So I take it with, I don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
What I do here, I take very seriously. And reminded of what Paul said, remember them which have the rule over you,
Amen.
Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow considering the end of their conversation.
Amen.
So, you know, that's the whole reason why we're here, and that's my concern, is just to be able to understand or know and understand that you are all in the place that you need to be spiritually.
Amen. Amen.
Your relationship
Yes.
with Him. It's really important. That's a burden I feel.
Right.
If you don't feel that burden for yourself, I feel it.
Right.
And it's placed upon me, and I feel that weight, and I say to myself, and always thinking about that, and always thinking, Lord, did I do what I need to do? Did I say what I needed to say? Did I teach what you wanted me to teach? So that they can understand. That's a great responsibility. By the way, I want to thank Brother Aaron and Brother Dan Edwards for taking care of things last week. I heard it was a powerful time last Sunday.
Amen.
Rejoicing. And
Amen.
I left Rapid City 1 o'clock our time after Brother David and I had our last visit and breakfast. And he asked me, what time do they usually get the podcast on? I said, well, I'll give them an hour after each service. They said, all right. So I got to Mitchell and he said, man, that first service was awesome. He said, I can't wait for the second one.
Amen.
And then when he listened to the second one, all he put was a thumbs up. He said, Brother, it was powerful.
Amen.
So thank God he's being fed.
Amen.
That's what he wanted me to say. Greet the church in Jesus' name. So,
Amen.
Being fed. But I want to turn your attention this morning to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to do a little bit of expository teaching. And that's what this is all about. That's what this time is for, just to break into the Word of God, to try to gain some understanding, because I know a lot of you, maybe the majority of you have an understanding, and I hope you do, but there's a small percentage of you that may not really understand as far as what the Word of God is saying, and especially when it talks about spiritual things. And here's the difference between understanding something that is spiritual. It's hard for people that are carnally minded. Now, don't get offended at me now.
Uh-huh.
it's hard for people that are carnally minded to understand the things that are of God. In other words, your mind is thinking about this, what's in this life and in this world, this carnal world.
Right.
It's hard for you to think about the spiritual things when your mind is totally filled with that kind of, how would I say, information or thought, and to be able to adjust to the spiritual things. In order for you to understand the spiritual things, there's one thing that will remedy that. I notice it's quiet now. There's one thing that will remedy your spiritual understanding. What would give you understanding? You know what that is? Being born again of the water and of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That will allow you to see. That will allow you to enter. That's what Paul said. It gives us an entrance to go into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And so that's what causes us to go into it. So that's why when people read the Bible, they say, I don't understand it. I don't know what they're talking about. Well, let me try to somehow, and I'll say it in that sense, bring it down to your level. Because what did the Lord say? My thoughts are higher than your thoughts.
Right.
My
that's
ways
right.
are higher than your
that's
ways.
Right.
Bring it down to our level so you can understand, so that you can somehow maybe comprehend and gain some kind of understanding. Spiritual understanding. Did you realize this? All of you in here, did you realize this? You have intellectual understanding.
Absolutely.
Everything you do, you say, how is that? Well, you read magazines, you read books.
Yeah.
Huh? Yep. I hope you do. I hope you're a reader. You listen to things on the media, you listen to things on TV. You listen to things on the radio, so you're fed.
Yeah, right.
That's what you call intellectual, carnal, secular knowledge. That's knowledge that you obtain right here.
Yeah, right.
But did you realize this? We attain all that knowledge through our contact with it. But did you realize this? You don't just, your intellectual and secular knowledge is not as important as your spiritual knowledge.
Yeah, right.
Your spiritual knowledge should be something that's more important to you. And you know why? I'll say this for one reason. Because you have a spirit.
Yes.
You have a human spirit that lives
yes.
in this body.
Right.
Whether you realize it or not, you probably know that already. Some of you that don't even know the Lord, your human spirit tries to call out and reach out. And you're going, why do I feel this urge? Why do I feel this need? Because you're the real, I call it the real you.
Right.
This is just your shall, but the real you lives inside of this shall.
Yes.
So we need that knowledge. So we see here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, did I give you a chapter? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, and I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Don't teach any other doctrine.
Right. Amen.
Wow. And the whole point, as we understand, we'll see, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Pay attention to what he's saying. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law, pay attention, is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine.
Ooh. Wow.
You think about that. Contrary to sound doctrine. That's what he said when he was talking about Timothy. He said when he gave him that charge that don't teach no other doctrine. Make sure you admonish him not to teach no other doctrine.
Right.
Why is that important for us? Of course, I'll define what it means. Doctrine is just simply teaching. Mm-hmm. It's what you are taught.
Right.
That's why all of us, we learn something. We're taught something.
Right.
By the environment we're in. What we, yes. We're surrounded by. We
right.
pick up certain things. You pick up certain ideas or ideals or values or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That everybody, amen, is living and everybody practices. And so we're exposed to that. But there's one thing that I want you to understand. For us to be able to become, listen to what I'm saying, become the people that God wants us to be. If we're going to be like Him, of course, there's a word they use for us, a term, Christians. Christians. In other words, we're going to be like Him. We're going to be Christ-like. So in order for us to be Christ-like, the only way we can obtain to that level of spiritual being is, amen, through doctrine,
amen.
Through teaching, so that we can learn. A lot of people don't understand a lot about Christianity.
Right.
I know a lot of people profess to be Christians, but guess what? And I'm not saying this in judgment. They don't really know what it's like, what you need to be a Christian.
Right.
Everything that has to take place to be a
That's
Christian. You can
right.
call yourself a Christian,
yeah.
but that doesn't make you a Christian.
That's right. Very true.
Why? Because we need to be taught. We need to learn. And that's what he's saying. In order for us to learn, we got to be able to understand what it is. The whole process of developing our spiritual knowledge,
right.
information.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so he says that they teach no other doctrine. What's really interesting in here is verse number four there. It says, neither give heed to fables, are endless genealogies which minister questions. There's always something there that will question the Word of God. I'm not a person that is given to superstition. Of course, who we are as far as Native people, in the Native philosophy and Native beliefs and traditions, there's a lot of suspicion.
Yes, there is.
Superstition.
Yeah.
It's like that all over the place.
Yeah.
Folklores and, like he says, fables, stories.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Talk about certain experiences and but he says we're not to be influenced by any of that.
Right.
Because there's nothing to it.
That's right. Amen.
Here's the thing. Man always wants to somehow hype up. They always want to try to exaggerate.
Yeah.
That's the word I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Exaggerate.
Yeah.
And they'll create this great big you know, dialogue and just try to make it look good.
Right.
That's all the devil is.
Yeah.
That's what he did to Eve.
Yeah.
Trying to make it, that tree of the knowledge of good and evil look good.
Yeah.
But when she found out, guess what? She found out after she did what he, amen, was talking to her, how he deceived her. Guess what she found out? It wasn't as good as he said it was.
Right.
Amen.
Because it cut off the existence of God in her life. So.
Right. Amen.
So any of that we don't pay attention to.
Yeah.
Because we're dealing with truth. We're dealing with facts.
Yes. Right, yes.
And so that's the whole thing. So he says there in verse number 4, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith do. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to read you, I brought my... My Amplified Bible, if you don't mind. Listen to what he says when he says this. When he's talking about, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So I want you to see what he means by this. I'll read the Amplified. Nor give importance to or occupy themselves with legends. That's an interesting word, isn't it? Fables, myths, and endless genealogies which foster and promote useless speculations and questionings rather than acceptance in faith of God's administration and the divine training that is in faith, in that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. So our entire human personality, this is the way it should be. If you want to become a child of God, your entire human personality, everything that makes you, should be leaning upon Him.
Amen.
Your trust, as He says, your trust and your confidence.
Yes. Amen.
Now let me, you know, I know I have a little bit of time, so I'm going to try to do my best. But you ever notice that when people... You can tell when people don't have confidence.
Yeah, right. Yep, true. Yep.
You can see that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that spark in their eye.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
True.
Amen.
We all know what that's like. And
oh, yeah.
Here's the thing about humanity. As long as we are without God, we will always fail.
Yep, that's true.
Amen.
That's
right.
Amen. Amen.
That's a determined fact.
Yes, it is.
Amen.
As long as we don't have God in our lives, let me tell you something. You might be going through a lot of things. You might have a lot of plans. You might be trying to work out your life. But if you don't have God, guess what? You're destined to failure.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
True.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes.
Wow. That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen,
sir.
Very, very true.
Amen.
So whenever you come to that point where you're eliminating all these other variants or variables in your life, negative.
Right.
And you solely lean upon God. You solely put your trust in God. There's some of you that are even not there yet. Even some of you that have been in church for a while.
Yeah. True. True.
Woo.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I can say that because I can feel it in the spirit.
Yeah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And that's what we have to do.
Yes.
Okay, let's go on. There's so much here, it's just... So he goes down in verse number 5, he says, now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Now here's the thing. He says faith unfeigned. The Amplified says this, whereas the object and purpose of our instruction and charge is love.
Amen.
Wow.
Which springs forth from a pure heart and a good, clear conscience and sincere, unfeigned love.
Wow.
So what that means is this. For us to be able to learn, you know what's going to make a difference in your life when you come to that place of understanding, the understanding of God, who He is, and how he relates to you. And you come to that place and God begins to, amen, instill in you the information that he wants you to receive.
Amen.
Understanding.
Yes.
You're going to find out that God is a good God.
Yes, yes. He is. Amen.
Because God went beyond for each and every one of us.
Yes, he did.
Every one of us that are sitting in here today, guess what? God went beyond for us.
Yes, he did.
And he intervened in our lives. Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
The part of his intervention, because he intervened, made it possible for you to be here today.
That's true. Right. Very, very true. Thank you, Jesus.
That's the beautiful thing about this.
Yes.
I'm glad he intervened.
Me too. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Because I wouldn't be here if he didn't intervene.
Right. Amen.
That's right.
And the things about human beings is this. We're not privy to intervention.
True. Right. Very true. Amen.
We didn't want his intervention.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Very true.
Amen.
But you know what he did? He stepped into our lives anyway.
Yeah, amen.
So why did he step into our lives? Get this now. Why did he step into our lives?
Wow.
What made him step into our lives? You know, for God so loved the world.
Yes.
Love.
Love.
So he stepped into our lives because of love. So that's what he's saying. He said that. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, love out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. So in other words, when we understand this and we're taught this, we actually realize, you know what it's going to do to us? It's going to realize that because he loved us,
yes,
we're going to love him.
Yes. Amen. 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 So true. Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
So he says, of faith unfeigned. Faith unfeigned. You know what that means? Faith that is unaffected.
Wow.
Wow.
Yes. Jesus.
Unaffected.
Wow.
Faith that is unaffected by feelings.
Yes.
By emotions.
Yes.
By your state of mind or being. Mm-hmm. In other words, what you're going through right now, if you're suffering, if you're going through some kind of trial, if you're going through some kind of temptation, if you're going through some kind of troubles, that faith will not be affected by what you're going through.
Amen.
Wow.
It's going to keep you.
Yes.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I love that.
Amen.
So I need that.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. And you go down into... So he's talking about that. Verse number 6, following that scripture I just quoted to you, from which some having swerved. So it means, having swerved means they missed the mark.
Yeah.
They've missed the mark. And wandered away in vain arguments and discussions and purposeless talk.
Wow.
Led them astray. Remember, we don't want to focus on any of that.
Right.
We want to focus on truth.
Yes. Definitely. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, Jesus.
Oh. Hallelujah. This is my burden. This is what I feel. You read there in verse number 7. He says, after he says that, from which having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. That's the point right there that you can say is, I believe this now, and please don't get offended at me.
It's the truth.
That's where a good percentage of God's people lie.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you don't know.
Right. That's true. Very true.
You don't understand.
Yeah. Amen.
So it's almost kind of like you're in essence, you're back and forth. You don't really know what to believe. You don't know really what to you know. What is the word of God really say?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
True. Amen.
Hallelujah. So I want you to understand, as Paul said, we know that the law is good. We know that the law is good. Verse number 8. If a man use it lawfully. How many of you, well, I don't want anybody to raise their hands. Just answer this in yourself. But be honest with your answers. You come to church, you come to the house of God. When you come to church, you should feel conviction.
Yes. Yes.
You should feel a sense of, like, you know, not being afraid,
right,
but just knowing that, hey, I'm in the house of God.
Yes.
Right.
Okay? And the thing about it is, when we talk about this, is understanding, how many of you feel right now, and you don't have to lift your hands, but how many of you feel like you're being judged? Huh? You feel that? And I've heard this. There's always been people that have made comments. And I hear it back, comes back to me. They don't say it to me. Mm-hmm. Say it to others. And I hear it. Please. I don't want to go there because that's all they do is judge you.
Yeah. Yep.
And you don't have to say anything.
Right.
Right. That's right.
Yep. Very, very true.
You don't have to say nothing, but they feel judgment.
Yeah.
Now, let me just kind of help you to understand why it is that we feel that way. Mm-hmm. Because we're always somehow, when it happens, instead of, and I'll say it in this way, resolving it. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean by resolving? Taking care of it so you don't feel that way.
Right. Yes.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Yes.
Resolving it. In order to resolve it, this is what you need to do. And I'll make it simple for you. In order for you to resolve it, you need to reposition yourself.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Hmm?
Yes.
Where you're standing.
Yes.
As far as the Word of God is concerned. Your approximation. Mm-hmm. Now, we can use the example left and right, mm-hmm, but that won't be a right example. I'll use this example, above and below.
Amen.
Because that's how it really is.
Yeah. Right.
So what I'm saying is this. If you're under the law, you're going to feel condemnation. Yeah. You're going to feel judgment.
True.
But if you're above the law,
right? Exactly. Right. Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that when I mean above the law, you're better than the law. That's right. Not what I'm saying.
No.
Huh? No. Right away, people's minds go there and say, oh man, I'm above. No. That means that if you're above the law, you're above judgment. What makes you above judgment? If you walk with God.
Yes.
If you walk with God how you should be walking with God, you're going to exempt yourself from judgment.
Wow. Amen.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So that's why he said, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. How are we going to use it lawfully? There's a proper way.
Amen.
That the law can be used. We can... Like the way we're using it, right? Where we're using it lawfully. I'm using the law to somehow lift you up.
Amen.
I'm not using the law to condemn you.
Right.
I'm showing you that, hey, there, you can resolve your where you are right now spiritually.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for being the answer. Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
So that's why it's important for us to understand that when we come to that place where as the Amplified says, when he was talking about the law, he says, for the purpose for which it was designed. Woo! People never pay close enough attention to what the law, what the word of God is trying to do for us.
Right.
Now listen to this. Do for us.
Yeah. Right.
For us.
Not against us.
Right. Wow. Yes. Amen. Ooh. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Am I making any sense?
Yes. Yes, you are. Thank you.
And a good passage of scripture to back this up. Mm-hmm. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24. It says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach and patient. In meekness, instructing those that, look what he says, oppose themselves.
Amen.
If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So this is what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to use the law in such a way that you can see what you need to do. You can make that move.
Yes. Jesus.
You can make that step.
Yes. Jesus.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So you might say, well, how is that even possible? Well, it's very possible. It's very possible. I never thought I could ever live for God. Never thought I could, you know, walk in righteousness.
True.
I'm not walking in my righteousness.
Right.
I'm walking in His righteousness.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
But you think about it, and we were all born into sin, each and every one of us.
Right.
We have everything in common. We were all born into sin.
True, very true. Amen.
And so from the beginning, or as they say in today's world, from the get-go,
yeah.
We were living a life of sin.
Yeah. Amen.
So because of sin, we were on this side. The law was against us. Because remember what Paul said. Remember what Paul said about the law wasn't made for the righteous.
Right.
The law was made for sinners.
Yeah. That's right.
Ooh. Right. So in other words, the law wasn't made for all you righteous folks. It was made for the sinners.
Right. Yes. Right. Amen. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's right.
And so you see that and you wonder, and I never thought I could ever overcome sin. I never thought it was possible to quit living in sin. Okay? So when you think about that, you might say, well, how, you know, what? Because, you know, when we talk about sin, there's so many characteristics of sin. So many characteristics. And the Bible talks about it. It says adultery. Have any everybody ever heard of adultery?
Yes.
Okay. Fornication. Adultery is. Let me just kind of be a little bit specific. Adultery is unlawful sex with somebody other than your wife or your husband.
Right.
That's adultery. Okay. Fornication is premarital sex. All you young people that have never been married and you fornicated or you fell in, you went to a sexual affair or sexual relationship with a person, that's fornication.
Yep. Yep.
And that's a sin.
Yes, it is.
Okay?
Yep. Amen.
So he talks about uncleanness.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Lasciviousness. Idolatry.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, can you give the definition of lasciviousness so they understand?
Lasciviousness is like evil wantonness.
What you're lost.
Yeah, lustful. There you go. That very word, lustful. Okay. Idolatry. witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings. That's quite a few, isn't it? 17 of those. And he says, such like. So in other words, there's more. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? So he's talking about that. He names all that. Then he talks about this. He talks about those were the works. Those are the sins. Because Paul said in Romans 7, he said, the motions of sins which are in my members, in my body. These are the motions of sin. This is what sin causes us to do.
Right.
So Paul is addressing this, and the only way we can overcome all this is to be born again.
Yes.
Born of water and of the Spirit. And so if we're born of water and of the Spirit, we're going to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now look what he says. Against such there is no law.
Amen. Yep. Absolutely.
Ooh.
Amen.
So in other words, when we walk in him, when we walk in the Spirit, guess what? The law, we're not judged by the law. You know why? We're fulfilling the law because we have his Spirit in us.
Right.
And because we have his Spirit in us, we're fulfilling the law. So guess what? We're free.
Yes. Amen.
We're free. So this is what it's like to be, you know, when to become. I never realized this, that a person can live without sin. You know, I'm glad I'm not bound to drugs anymore. I used to be a drug addict. It's hard to believe, but I used to be a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. I was a brawler. I cussed. I lied. I cheated. I did a lot of things I'm not proud of. I'm glad I don't live that life no more.
Amen.
Huh? Yep. Amen.
I don't live that life no more. I'm free from it. The law, I could always remember the first time I went to an apostolic Pentecostal service and I heard the preaching and it was like, the inner man was obviously rejoicing, but my flesh was like, I even accused my wife. I turned to her and I said, you told that man everything about me, didn't you? Wasn't even the case, because everything he talked about, that was me, that was sin. So in other words, the reason why we thought that way, condemnation, judgment, we were under the law. But here comes God preaching the word. He's trying to get us to see, hey, you can reposition yourself. You can become a good person.
Yes.
You can become a godly person.
Yes.
So you think about that. I got a few minutes, so I'm going to go ahead. Amen. Thank you for slowing the clock, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
The reason why I say this, and I'm addressing the people of God. I'm addressing the people of God. You go over into the book of Hebrews. In chapter 5, in verse 11, and you see the writer of Hebrews here saying, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. I had to stop at this one time when I was reading this. I've read it, I don't know how many times over, And before he mentions everything after that, verse number 12 through verse number 14, I realized something. The reason why sometimes we cannot receive, or we cannot comprehend, we cannot grow. And I was looking at this and the way he was writing about it, of course, he's under the influence of the Holy Ghost. And he says, one of the first reasons why was this. He said, ye are all dull of hearing.
Right. That's right. Amen. That's right. Amen.
True. In other words, we haven't really listened.
That's right. Amen.
Haven't really listened. We haven't really paid attention.
That's right.
I'm a teacher. It was my first occupation as far as the ministry was concerned. I was a teacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I fulfilled all those offices in the ministry. And as a teacher, I would like for those who hear the instruction of God's word to be able to learn, to comprehend,
yes,
to grow in that knowledge, in that understanding.
Amen.
So while I'm putting it out to you, while I'm speaking to you, the whole purpose of my speaking to you is so that you can grow.
Yes.
You can develop.
Amen. Amen.
You can become a Christian.
Yes. Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
But a lot of times, you know, that would be a perfect scenario for me. But a lot of times it's not. I'm just sharing you what I feel in my heart. A lot of times it's not. That's not what's really going on. Because a lot of times, half the time, I believe this, half the time that you're not all there.
Yeah, right.
True.
You're not listening.
Yeah.
You're not paying attention.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
So because of that, you're dull of hearing.
Yeah.
And you wonder why sometimes people say, wow, what is this all about? As a teacher, I can say, well, haven't you been listening?
Right.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
So he says, of whom we have many things to say. There's so much. There's so much I could say. I mean, when we talk about doctrine, when we talk about the Word of God, when we talk about everything that's in the Word of God, let me tell you something. There's so much that I would love to say.
Right.
But it's hard to say when you cannot comprehend.
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, the only way that we're, you know, and I believe sometimes a lot of God's people are in that position, even though they feel like they want to be an example or a witness or a testimony or a teacher. Guess what? It's hard for them because guess what? They don't even know the basic principles of the Word of God. That's why it's really important for us to, not just to come to church, but that's why it's important for us to pray and to study, to read. Amen. So he says that. He says, you're in need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth the milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You're just a babe because guess what? You're used to milk.
Yeah.
Reminds me of little Lana there. Because of her condition, when they brought her, and because of the way, you know, she was premature, so they had to use the formula. certain formula for her, and only because that was the only kind of formula they could use, so you know her body can get used to the nourishment. But they said with a lot of patience and work, you guys can probably get it to the point where she could start using whole milk and then introducing, you know, the foods that you give a baby. And you obviously seen that she was, you know, had that dependency on that, on the, what do you call it, the
formula.
Yes. There you go. And if you tried to give her something else, because we tried to little by little introduce, because she said, try to wean her off it. We did. She made that funny. She didn't want to let go of the formula. She wanted to, and she was, and she's actually growing. She's getting better. She's doing things she never did when she first came. She's calling now. She's moving around, and she's even talking. She even has a vocabulary. I didn't see her for a few days, so when I came back, man, I just was loving on her, and I started smooching her up, and I would say, oh, there's a neck shot. And I got down, and I start kissing her like that. She goes, don't! I said, oh, okay. Or she says, stop! But here's the thing. With persistence, with doing what they told us to do, now she's graduated, now she's eating, you know, like soft food, applesauce and all that kind of stuff. Now cereal, grandma's been giving her cereal. So she eats that. Now we're weaning her off of that formula. She's drinking milk, but just getting her to that point where her diet's changing so she can grow and develop.
Right. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Need to pluck that passy out of some of yours, Mom.
Take that pacifier away.
So he says, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use. Now listen to what he says. By reason of use. In other words, you're putting into practice.
Amen.
You're putting into practice. You're utilizing. You're getting yourself in the Word. You're praying. You're getting revelation and understanding. You're growing. Growing. Did you hear me? Growing.
Yes. Amen.
Developing. But who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it's possible that just keep on doing it.
Right.
Application. Just keep coming to church. Keep coming to Bible study. Keep praying. Keep reading the Word of God. Keep doing what you need to do. And guess what's going to happen? Pretty soon you're going to develop. And pretty soon you're going to be able to develop that sense of good and evil.
Yes. Amen.
You're going to know as a child of God. I mean, because sometimes we don't discern that.
Right.
I remember what it was like, you know. Sister Sierra, are you going to go on with your education or are you stopping for a while?
Stopping for a while.
Okay, just for a while. So there's a possibility you might go on and get your master's and doctor's and higher up, whatever the highest level you can achieve. Let me tell you something. I say that, and I know I always, you know, I don't mean to embarrass her, but she's an intelligent young lady.
She is.
She's a smart young lady. I wish I had her mind. Praise God. I probably would have just breezed my way through college if I had her mind.
Right.
Took me a little while.
Huh? Amen.
This old brain of mine just kind of... So whenever you learn, whenever you're taught, whenever you have received instruction, in order for those who are teaching you, in order for them to find out where you are as far as what you have retained, your knowledge. Now, it's kind of something because I'll just try to do simplify it, but to retain knowledge, to know that you have read, to know that you have understood, to know that you know what you have learned.
Yeah.
You know what they do? They give you a test.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Comprehension.
Yes.
So you can study. Mm-hmm. You know, the right thing is that if you've read it and you acquaint yourself with it and you study it, and then you pretty soon you ingest it and pretty soon you know. So a lot of, you know, I know that some students I went to school with, guess what? They didn't even have to study. Just because they knew it, they read it all the time, they just took the test and wham, I was thinking, wow. Here I am, I have to go back and forth and what they call cram studying and staying up all night and then just be able to get that passing grade and ooh, once you get it, you go, ooh.
Yes. Yep.
But I did it.
Right.
That says something, that is.
Yes.
But here's the thing. That's how you do it with, you know, secular education. When I say secular, I mean not here, the school system, elementary, middle school, high school, college, on the college level, trade school. That's what you call a secular level. So you have to take that test. Otherwise, guess what? They won't pass you if you don't pass that test.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm.
So you have to pass the test.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's different for us as the children of God. Because every time we get done with the Bible study, or every time we get done studying a certain topic, guess what? I don't wheel out tests to you.
That's right. That's right.
I could say, hey, guess what? Next Sunday we're going to have a 50-question test. That's going to be over what we've been studying about the Word of God. And I can. It's not like that. You know, and the thing about it is, we don't do that kind of test. Guess where your tests take place? Huh? The tests take place in what you experience in your life. The knowledge you receive in here, if you put it into your life, is going to help you to be able, you know what's going to, the trial of your faith,
yes.
Which is more precious than of gold that perishes. In other words, the
yes.
testing of your faith.
Yes.
In other words, if you comprehend, if you go through it, guess what? When you go out there and you put it into real life experiences,
yes.
and you have that knowledge,
yes.
Amen.
That's why so many flounder.
Yeah.
Because they don't put it to practice.
Right.
Because they have never learned.
Amen.
So that's why it's important for us.
Amen.
I'm out of time. We'll stop here. Thank you very much. God bless you. We're going to take a half hour break and we'll be back afterwards. Greet one another in Jesus' name.